This is Joan Crawford welcoming you to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. And here is your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. We're happy to say that beginning today and each week from now on, Stars Over Hollywood will be brought to you by Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. And today we present transcribed the romantic drama, I Knew This Woman, starring Hollywood's favorite actress, Joan Crawford. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding. Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
Yes, it's Carnation, bringing you Stars Over Hollywood. And speaking of stars, here's Miss Joan Crawford.
Hello, Art. I'm delighted to make another appearance on Stars Over Hollywood, and especially in this particular story.
How's that, Miss Crawford?
Well, it's one of the few instances where I've played myself. I chose today's story because, in my opinion, it's not only an entertaining one, but because it's also a story of helpfulness. And another thing, the story of Susan Crane proves that any challenge can be an opportunity as well.
Well, I guess opportunity is one thing, but it's performance that proves the pudding. That's what we keep telling people about Carnation evaporated milk. For instance, there are lots of opportunities to use Carnation in the hundreds of dishes that call for milk. But what Carnation does in making foods taste better is the important thing. For every milk use, for most cream purposes, Carnation is ideal because it adds such richness and flavor. You see, Carnation is concentrated to more than double richness by having water removed. As it pours from the can, undiluted Carnation has the consistency of cream. It's rich and heavy enough to whip. And even when you mix Carnation with an equal amount of water, you still have milk that's richer than your state standard for bottled milk. Yet Carnation costs almost one-third less than bottled milk. So with recipes that call for milk, with dishes that call for cream, spend less. Use Carnation, the milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of I Knew This Woman, starring Joan Crawford. Curtain going up.
Oh, she was quite a person, Susan Crane. A little quieter now than she used to be. A woman now. I have to think hard to remember the girl who was always laughing. Always having fun no matter what she did. And yet, that was the Susan Crane of only a year ago when I first told her about Bob Willis.
So, I've got to figure out some excuse that won't hurt Elsa's feelings. But I'm not going to her party. I simply can't live through another one of those blind dates her husband gets me. Or, maybe I'm too hard to impress. Am I stuffy, Joan?
No, stop it, of course.
Well, something's wrong. I met half the single men in town and no spark. And I'm not husband hunting.
Wait a minute. Bob Willett. He's a darling, and we've been friends for ages. I don't know why I didn't think of him before, but... Well, you and Bob would hit it off perfectly. You can find your own romance. But I think you two could have a very swell friendship that would mean a lot to both of you.
Friendship between a man and a woman? I never heard of it.
Well, and it's about time you did, because it happens to be one of the nicest experiences in life.
Oh, I was only kidding. I'd like to meet a man who'd be a real pal. Only, how can you be so sure Bob Willett and I'd click?
Because I've known the two of you for a long time, and because I happen to love you both.
Oh, you interest me muchly. When am I going to meet him?
I didn't give a party for them. It's too hard to get acquainted with a mob of people around. Instead, a few days later, I invited them to a family dinner. I knew if either Susan or Bob put up a stone wall of formality, my four youngsters would take care of it in a hurry, which they did, and in a big way. By the time dinner was over and the children were in bed, the stone walls were only a memory. And Susan and Bob were friends.
Oh, those kids of yours are really something, Joan. Oh, kids are great. No axes to grind, no apples to polish, nothing to be afraid of or to worry about. They meet you, they like you, they say so.
The catch is that if they don't like you, they're liable to say it too.
Well, don't stifle it, Joan. A kid's instinct is nothing to monkey with.
I wonder if that's why I never feel close to anyone children don't like. And I don't trust people who don't understand children either. At least I don't if I know it. But I suppose there are lots of people who are very careful to keep that hidden so you never find it out.
I didn't know it, but a time was coming when I would remember those words of Susan's. It was midnight when Susan and Bob left, and I knew the usual weeks of getting acquainted had all been bridged in that one evening. I saw them often after that, and each time it seemed to me Susan was prettier than the time before. Once I laughingly asked her if it was love.
Oh, not the way you mean, Joan. It's just that I'm having so much fun. It's exactly like you said it would be. Bob and I are pals, Joan. Just wonderful, wonderful pals.
But as time went on, I knew there was something wrong with the picture. Bob's attitude towards Susan changed. The happy, easy friendliness was gone. He was quiet around her. And when they were together, his eyes would follow every move she made. I don't think Bob would have talked to me about it. And I certainly wouldn't have questioned him under ordinary conditions, but everything led up to it so naturally that night at the country club dance. It was a wonderful party, and Susan looked beautiful. She had more partners than a debutante, but each time Bob watched her dance away, his frown got deeper. I met him later out on the terrace. Oh, Bob, it's a perfect evening. Music, a moon, everything beautiful. Stop acting like it's a swell night for a murder.
Don't give me any ideas.
Bob, what's the matter?
Joan, you saw Steve Thompson tonight, didn't you?
You mean the tall, dark man with the Harrington party?
Yeah, that's the guy. Susan met him a couple of weeks ago, and she's carrying a torch big enough to light up the town.
She's... Oh, no. No, I don't believe it, Bob. Well, Susan would have talked to me about him, and she hasn't even mentioned his name.
She's in love with a guy, Joan, I'm telling you. And he's wrong with Susan. Now, don't get the idea that this is jealousy talking, either. I love her enough to want her happiness more than I want my own. But she's not going to have it with Steve Thompson. Anyway, thanks for listening, beautiful. Let's go in and dance.
I put in some miserable hours that night, worrying about Bob's heartbreak and Susan's future. I wanted so much to help them, but I couldn't for the life of me think of a single thing to do. The next morning, Susan called asking if she could bring Steve Thompson over to dinner.
You told me you were going to let me find my own romance, Joan. Well, I found it when I met Steve. You'll be crazy about him. I know you will.
That night was the first time I saw Susan and Steve together, and all I could think of was they're in love, really in love. Bob was right. It made me feel a little sick for Bob. But as the evening went along, I couldn't believe he was right in the things he'd said about Steve. He was wonderful company, and he had a lot of charm. I enjoyed him, and I liked him. And when Susan and Steve got up to go, well, I was sorry their visit was over.
I hope you let me come again, Joan. I promise I'll act better next time.
He was scared stiff about meeting you, Joan.
Now, wait a minute. Let's clear that up. It's just that I knew you and Susan were close friends, and that your opinion means a lot to her.
She's been taking you for a nice long ride, Steve. Susan asks my opinion, sure, but then she does exactly as she pleases.
Only when I disagree with
her. There, you see? See what I mean?
If I'd just known that in advance, I could have been my own obnoxious self.
Well, that's something to look forward to the next time. And I do hope it's soon.
If I have my way, it'll be sooner than you expect. And as often as Susan will bring me.
In the next few months, I saw a lot of Susan and Steve, and at first it was always fun being with them. But as Steve became more relaxed, more sure of himself, I saw flashes of a temperament that was very strange, even a little frightening. All of a sudden, Steve just didn't add up. That charming exterior didn't match his violent opinions, his boredom with everything domestic, the way he laughed at honest sentiment. Then, one Saturday afternoon, Susan came to see me, but alone. And that was when all the pieces of the strange, frightening puzzle began to fall into place.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's Stars Over Hollywood radio drama, I Knew This Woman, starring Joan Crawford, and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, there's another charming person here that we'd very much like you to meet, and here she is, Carnation's Home Service Director, Mary Blake. Mary, what's the good word?
Well, Art, now that cool autumn weather is here, I think soup is a very good word.
Mm-mm. There's nothing like a bowl of your favorite soup to start off a meal these days.
Especially cream soup, Art. Cream soup is even more delicious and nourishing.
And made with carnation evaporated milk. Well, now, Mary, have I got something there or haven't I?
You certainly do have something. When you make cream soup with carnation, it's much smoother, richer in flavor, and better tasting.
How would you go about it?
Well, for instance, to your regular brand of vegetable soup, simply add an equal amount of carnation just as it pours from the can.
Undiluted, that is.
Yes. And for a lighter soup, you may prefer to use carnation diluted with water to the richness you prefer.
Well, that's the wonderful thing about carnation. It's so rich that 1 cup of carnation mixed with 1 cup of water gives you 2 cups of good whole milk that's actually richer than your state standard for bottled milk.
And don't forget how economical carnation is.
I should say not. Rich as it is, carnation actually costs nearly 1/3 less than bottled milk. Thanks for reminding me, Mary.
Not at all, Art. Goodbye now.
Bye. See you again. And ladies, be sure to follow Mary Blake's suggestion about making your favorite cream soups with carnation evaporated milk. And use carnation in all your recipes that call for milk. It's the thrifty way to more tasty, appetizing dishes. Carnation, the milk from contented cows. We return now to the second act of I Knew This Woman, starring Joan Crawford.
When Susan came to my house that day, she was like a quiet ghost of the girl I knew. She wasn't at ease, so of course I wasn't either. We talked awkwardly for a few minutes, and then, with a tense smile, Susan said, "It's been nearly a month since I even phoned you. I was a little afraid about coming over today."
"Oh, that's crazy, Susan. Friends don't have to see each other every minute to stay friends. I've been busy, and I took it for granted you were, too."
"I was home trying to figure something out. It's about Steve. I'm so confused, I'm beginning to wonder if I'm out of my mind."
"Anderson, don't. No quarrel on earth could be that bad."
"We didn't quarrel. It's not that simple. Steve and I are engaged, Joan."
"And you're acting like the end of the world has come."
"Because I'm afraid. There's something I haven't told you about, Steve. He was married before, and he has a 7-year-old son. Billy lives with his mother in a small suburban district way out."
"You mean Steve just told you about them?"
No, I've known from the start. At least he told me they existed. But he didn't talk about his first wife much till after we fell in love. And now, everything I say, every plan I suggest for our future, Steve connects somehow with his life with Marion."
"Susan, you're going to have some miserable times if you resent a woman Steve loved before he knew you."
"But I don't resent her, Joan. It's Steve's attitude about her that has me so upset. He hates Marion."
"He hates?"
"Yes. Whenever I try to discuss our future, he says I sound just like her. Even when I talked about us getting a little house in the suburbs, he was furious. Said the reason his marriage had broken up was that Marion insisted on dragging him out to the sticks to live."
"Well, that hardly seems like cause for a divorce. It doesn't make much sense."
"That's what worries me. The way Steve's always saying crazy things like that. And the way he said I'm never having a family."
"But I thought you said he has a son."
"He has. His name's Billy. I wonder about that, too. Joan, could a man just like his own little boy?"
"Oh, that's a shocking question, Susan."
"I know. But beyond telling me Billy exists, Steve has never talked about him. Does that seem strange to you?"
"Yes, it does. It seems very strange."
"Well, Joan, I've got to find out what it's all about before I can marry Steve. I want you to drive out to Marion's house with me."
"You're not going to talk to her?"
No. I just want to see if it's an ugly shack on a corny street, as Steve says it is. Maybe I can see Billy. Maybe he'll be out in the yard playing.
Maybe it'll be a fool's errand, too."
"I know. But I've got to go. Will you go with me, John?"
"Before I answer that, I want to ask you something, Susan. What if you find out that Steve has lied to you? Are you prepared for that?"
"Yes. Then I'd know. I wouldn't be guessing."
"But what good would it do? Look, what I'm trying to find out, Susan, is whether you're going out of a need to set your life straight or out of curiosity and jealousy."
"Oh, it's not out of curiosity, Joan. And I'm not jealous of Marion."
"Okay. That's good enough for me. I'll go with you whenever you want."
"Tomorrow, then. I'll be by right after lunch tomorrow and pick you up." "Oh, thank you, Joan. Thank you."
We talked very little on the drive to Marion Thompson's house the next day. We were both too worried, too afraid about how it might turn out. When we got to the suburban district, we drove slowly till we found the street where Marion lived. Then Susan parked the car under a pepper tree, and we got out and started to walk. All right. This is the 300 block. What's the number?
340. Most of the houses don't seem to be numbered.
Look, Susan, why don't we forget the whole thing and go on home, huh? Why take a chance on putting yourself through agony? Either you believe in Steve or you don't.
I know you don't mean that, Joan, because I know that lately you've had some doubts about Steve yourself.
All right. I give up. I want to spare you, but if you insist on walking into trouble...
You'll walk beside me because you're my friend.
Or because I'm a first-class dope. Oh, Susan, look. That fence with the talisman roses. Did you ever see anything so lovely?
Never in my life.
Oh, the size of them. I can't even cup one with both of my hands.
Hello there. May I pick you a bunch of the roses? We have hundreds of them, and they last so beautifully in the house.
Oh, no, thank you. They're much too lovely on the fence.
What? Well, you're Joan Crawford, aren't you?
Yes, I'm afraid I am.
Well, I'm going to be prouder than ever of my roses.
That's a very sweet thing to say. Thank you. And thank you, too, for offering me your roses.
Miss Crawford, I wonder if you'd mind... I mean... Well, if I tell Billy you were here and he doesn't get to meet you, he'll disown me.
Billy?
My little boy. I'm Marion Thompson. Billy's around the back in the patio. Look, I just took a pitcher of lemonade out. It'd be such a wonderful party for him if you and your friend would join us.
You're very kind, but I'm afraid we can't. You see, we're really on our
way. I'm Susan Crane, Mrs. Thompson, and I'm going to accept for both of us.
Oh, thank you, Miss Crane. The patio's just around the side of the house. I have a hose going on the shrubs back there. Excuse me just a minute. I'll run ahead and turn it off so you won't get soaked.
Now, look, Susan. This is ridiculous. You've seen her, you've seen the house. That's enough. You're going back there and tell her we can't accept your invitation after all. That you just noticed the time or... Oh, well, say anything just so you can make it convincing. This whole miserable business has gone far enough.
It's okay now. Mom turned the hose off. You won't get wet, honest you won't. The lemonade's well. I tasted it.
Billy. Joan, that's Billy. I couldn't have moved in that moment if my life had depended on it. I just stood there, staring at the handsomest child I'd ever seen. He was looking at me in that special small boy way that says, I bet we'll be pals, you and I. He shifted his position a little so the tip of his crutches wouldn't sink into the soft earth. And as he turned, for just a second, the sun flashed on the brace that went around the shoe. That's when I forgot the reason Susan and I were there. I forgot that only seconds before I'd told her that we had to leave. All I knew was that Billy was inviting me to a party. And I wouldn't have missed it for anything in the world.
Well, gosh, Mom, I only had 6 cookies. And you make them so good, I bet it wouldn't hurt me if I ate 100.
All right. With me, flattery will get you every place. Put a cup in your pocket. And then suppose you disappear, huh? Way past your nap time.
Yeah, I guess so. But I'd rather stay out here and talk.
Look, Billy, I'll be back soon. And then we'll talk for hours.
Cross your heart?
Mm-hmm. Cross my heart.
Well, I'll be seeing you then. Gee, thanks for coming to the party.
It was a wonderful party, Billy. Goodbye and have a good nap.
Bye, Miss Crawford. Bye, Miss Crane.
Goodbye, Billy.
Take the spread off the bed before you lie down, son.
Yes, Mom.
He just hates to take his nap. But he wouldn't fuss because of you being here, Miss Crawford. I'm afraid my son's in love with you.
And I'm afraid it's mutual. He's a darling.
Mm, he really is. I'm pretty proud of Billy. He's been a good soldier through some rough times. He's doing wonderfully.
Marion, how long?
3 years. Mm. We were living in an apartment in the city when it happened. Of course, we couldn't stay there. Billy had to be where everything was on one floor with easy access to the outdoors.
He looks like he lives in the sunshine now.
Well, he just about does. Oh, the good Lord was certainly on my side to let me find this house.
Susan. Oh, Susan, don't. Please don't.
Did I say something wrong?
No, Marion, of course not.
Tell her, Joan. Tell Marion who I am and why I'm here.
You're sure that's what you want, Susan?
That's what I want. Tell her everything.
Like a heartbroken child ashamed of herself, Susan hid her face as I began to talk to Marion. It wasn't easy. But I told her the truth about Susan and Steve. About the way Susan came to doubt him and to be afraid of a future with him. And I hesitated, groping for words that wouldn't hurt Susan. But she wouldn't let me spare her. In a kind of monotone, she began to talk, quoting Steve, quoting the things he'd said about his life with Marion. Things thing she couldn't believe. She told Marion how she'd begged me to come with her that day and how I'd refused to go in. That is, until I saw Billy. And then Susan said something that made me very proud of her.
In my heart, I hoped coming out here would justify all the things he told me. I wanted to leave here feeling sorry for poor Steve. Instead, I'm so ashamed I could die.
Oh, but you mustn't be. I think you were wise to come here, Susan. Only you've got to be fair to Steve. And it won't be easy for you to understand him unless you've ever known a person who was frightened by illness.
Of course I have.
I've known people like that, Susan. When someone they love is ill, they're so terrified that they seem to have no sympathy at all.
Yes, that's exactly the way Steve was when Billy was taken sick.
And then when a long convalescence began, Steve rebelled against it with everything in him.
Against you and Billy, you mean?
No, Susan, no. Not actually. It was against fate. But you can't fight what you can't see, so Steve turned all that hopeless fury on Billy and me. He made himself believe that I neglected him and that Billy didn't love him.
But how can you make excuses for a man like
that? Marion's not making excuses for Steve. She's trying to explain his actions, darling, so you'll understand.
He needs understanding, Susan.
You see, I don't love Steve anymore, but I feel terribly sorry for him.
Well, there's just one more thing I want to know. How long has it been since Steve has visited Billy?
Well, I'm not sure. 3 months or four. Oh, but of course he's phoned.
He's phoned?
Susan, you're too worn out emotionally for any more of this. Come on, I'm going to take you home.
All right. I'm ready to go home now.
Susan asked me to drive back to town, and she sat beside me, pale and silent. For once, I was actually glad I had to fight heavy traffic every foot of the way. Then, when we were only a couple of miles from my house, she spoke for the first time since we'd left Marion's.
I've decided what to do, Joan. I'm going to write him. Just a short note that it's over.
Well, I'm sure you'll do it kindly, Susan. After all, you and Steve were in love.
Do you really believe that, Joan? I doubted Steve. He fought me for a selfish way of life. Do you really believe it was love?
Well, since you ask me, no. No, I don't. I think you did what we all do at some time or other. You tried to convince yourself that something you wanted was real. But that doesn't make it any easier to get over. And the way to do it is to keep on the go. Keep busy at something. Don't sit home and remember. Go out and forget.
And that's exactly what I'm going to do if I have to impose on every friend I've got. Like you, Joan. I'm not going to drop you at your house now. I'm going to go right in with you. I'm inviting myself to supper. Am I welcome?
You know you're always welcome, but I think I should tell you I'm going to have a guest. At least the children are. He's coming to see them, not me.
Oh, that would be Bob, of course. He's crazy about your four, isn't he?
My four and every other child he knows.
A man that crazy about kids would be a terrific person to know. Joan, I want to come to the party and meet Bob Willett.
Sorry, Susan, but I just can't let you joke about Bob. Maybe you don't realize it, but you hurt him terribly. I don't want him hurt again.
Oh, Joan, I didn't mean to be funny or flippant. I said I wanted to meet Bob. I meant... Well, I guess it's like that game you play with the twins. Let's pretend. I'm pretending I never knew Steve Thompson or Bob Willett either. And I don't know Bob, Joan. Not really. But I'd like to so very much.
I think I can arrange it in just a little while. And don't you dare cry or I'll change my mind. Here's my street. We're almost home.
Oh, Joan, look at that sunset. We're driving right into it. The whole sky is crimson.
Red sky at night. Sailor's delight. Remember how your father always used to say that to us, Susan?
Oh, yes, of course. I haven't thought about it in years. Red sky at night. Sailor's delight.
He told us it was a promise, Susan. Remember? A promise for a beautiful day tomorrow and smooth sailing ahead.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Joan Crawford. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Miss Crawford?
Thank you, Art.
I'd imagine, Miss Crawford, that such highly emotional roles as you're accustomed to playing on the screen can be quite exhausting.
Yes, that's true, Art.
And you can't guess how much I appreciate a few moments of relaxation afterwards.
We've already anticipated that, Miss Crawford. Here's a bracing cup of hot coffee ready and waiting for you.
Oh, there's nothing I like better.
Well, I think you'll like this cup of coffee even more because it's creamed with carnation milk.
Oh, does that make a difference?
It certainly does. Just you taste it and see.
I see what you mean. It's very smooth.
Smooth, yes, and full-bodied, too. Richer, because carnation has the consistency of good, rich cream. It's heavy enough to whip. And believe me, what that does for coffee is something every coffee drinker ought to know about. Why, do you know, Miss Crawford, that millions of coffee lovers actually like carnation better than cream for their coffee?
Well, you know, Art, I'm not surprised.
Oh, but here's a rather surprising thing. Carnation costs less than half as much as cream. So, can you blame us for saying, no matter how good coffee is, it's better when you cream it with carnation? And Joan Crawford, for your wonderful performance today, we want you to have this bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of carnation evaporated milk.
Thank you, Art. The flowers are beautiful, and you've been a grand host. Now tell me, what's your show about next week?
Well, Joan, it'll be an exciting story called Filler to Adventure, and we're most fortunate in having as our special carnation guest that romantic young actor, MacDonald Carey.
Well, you can be sure I'll be listening. Goodbye, Art, and thank you again.
Goodbye, Miss Crawford. Today's story was written for Stars Over Hollywood by Helen Morgan. Supporting Miss Crawford were Loreen Tuttle, Anthony Barrett, Lillian Bayef, Ann Whitfield, and Rye Bilsberry. Music by Rex Corey. Today's program was produced and transcribed by Carl Harwood. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding. Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to listen next Saturday for MacDonald Carey in Filler to Adventure. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations.